We're continuing the Shir in Likutei Halachos, Choshen Mishpat, Chelek Aleph, Hilchos Cheskas Metaltelin, Halacha Hey, in middle of paragraph Yud Dalid, about two-thirds of the way through. Rav Nosson Zal is explaining the Shiras Hazinu and how it relates to what we're learning about. So now we're up to the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekro. Hainu, Rav Nosson Zal says, De'u v'haminu, you should know and believe. Shekol ma shani medaber u'moitzi mipi, this is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking, that everything that I say, everything that comes out of my mouth, b'chulam shem Hashem ekro. Shekol devorai v'sichoisai heim rak likrois shem Hashem. Everything I say and everything I'm talking about is only about proclaiming the name of Hashem, legadel ulekadesh shmoi boilam, to elevate and glorify and sanctify Hashem's name in the world. V'alkein, and therefore, atem, you, the Jewish people, havu goydel elekeinu, give honor to Hashem. Ki al yidei shetaminu b'chol zeh, because by you having faith in this, realizing that when a tzaddik emes speaks, every word that comes out of his mouth has secrets behind it. There's much, much more than what it appears on the surface. Alideze titnu goydel elekeinu. Through this, you'll be giving great honor to Hashem. Shetovinu mimeni gedulosoi venoirosoi yisporach lo'ad. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you'll be able to understand through me the greatness and awesomeness of Hashem. But ki al yidei tzadikei emes, because through the true tzadikim, al yidei chidushei toiros hamakdoisha, through the new insights in Torah that they reveal, val yidei sichoisam haniflois, and through the wondrous things that they teach us, yecholim lehovin gedulois Hashem, we can get an idea about the greatness of Hashem. Kimavur b'makom achar, as is explained in other places in our teachings, ukemuvon kol zeh lechol hazoichem leskariv aleim. And as all of this is very clear to those who are zoicha to come close to the true tzaddikim, they get to see greatness, a level of greatness like they never imagined, and from that they can get an idea as to what Hashem could, if this is what the tzaddik is, could you imagine how great Hashem is? Ki hatzur tomim po'oloi. Rav Nosson Zal is continuing with the psukim in the beginning of Hazinu. Because Hashem, all of his actions are complete. Ubevadai po'al v'oso v'yotzar uvoro hakoil b'chochma niflo. And Hashem definitely created everything and made everything with tremendous ingenuity. K'mo shekosav, as the pasuk says, Kulam bechochma sisa, everything Hashem created with chochma. V'hakol nivra b'shvil hatzadikim ho'isim ritzoinoi. And everything that Hashem created, He created for the benefit of those tzadikim who really fulfill His will. Sheheim yoidim roze oilam. They're the ones who really know the secrets of creation and the secrets of the world. At shekol maaseim v'dibureim meleim rozen, to the point where these tzaddikim, all of their actions and all of their words are filled with secrets. Val yodom yecholin lohoven gedulas Hashem, and via them, through them, we could understand the greatness of Hashem. By getting to know the tzaddikim and seeing how great they really are, it gives us an idea about the greatness of Hashem. Now there's, in parentheses, it says Mahadura Tinyona, which means a second edition, that this paragraph was added in a second edition. Paragraph Tesvov, V'zeh Bechinas Arbo Minim. Based on what we've been learning till now, we'll understand a new insight regarding the four special species that we take on Sukkos. The Lulav, the Hadassim Arovois, and the Esroi. She'ikr hahidur hu boho esroi. The beauty of the four of them is the Esrog, and that's where people usually spend the most money and the most time and effort looking for a beautiful Esrog. Shehu pri eitz hadar. The Torah defines it as a beautiful fruit. Avol ein mevorchim kiim al haluluv. And yet, even though the Esrog is more expensive and more beautiful, we spend so much more time and effort looking for it, when it comes to making a bracha on the four species, we only make the bracha on the lulav. Asher kedishonu b'mitzvoyse v'tzivonu al netilas lulav, and that covers all four of them. Ki halulav shehu kapois tamorim, because the lulav, which in the Torah is referred to as kapois tamorim, from a date palm, ze b'chinas hatzadik biatzmoi kemuva, that represents the tzaddik himself, as is brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, Bechinas, as we find a pasuk in Tehillim, tzaddik katomor yifroch. The pasuk says that the tzaddik will blossom forth like a tomor, like a date palm, from which the lulav comes from. V'hu mekasher elov anaf eitzavois, and the tzaddik, represented by the lulav, attaches to himself the hadasim, which the Torah calls anaf eitzavois, shehem bechinas tlas avon. The three hadasim correspond to Avraham, Yitzchok, and Yaakov, shehem bechinas shoyresh uklal shar kol tzadikim. They are the foundation of, and they symbolize all the other tzadikim. The lulav represents the tzaddik emes, let's say Moshe Rabbeinu, for example. The hadasim, which are attached to the lulav, they represent all the other tzaddikim, which are attached to the tzaddik. And regarding the other tzaddikim, they're represented by the three. Avram, Yitzchok, Yaakov are symbolic of all other tzaddikim. We know, just like when it comes to the Ushpizin, the 7 days of Sukkos correspond to the seven shepherds of the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the center. Moshe Rabbeinu is the fourth one. There's three on the right. Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov are on the right, and Aharon, Yosef, David are on the left. Moshe Rabbeinu is in the center. All the tzaddikim are attached to him, like the candles in the menorah, in the Mishkan, and in the Beis Hamikdash. There were seven candles. The center one burned straight up. That was the main one of all of them. The three on the right leaned in towards the left. The three on the left leaned towards the right, showing that they were all subservient to that middle one. So to hear, when we speak about the Tzaddik Emes, when we speak about Moshe Rabbeinu, even Avraham, Yitzchok, Yaakov are subservient to him. The Arvei Nachal, and then comes the third species, the Aravois, Shehem Bechinas Poishe Yisrael, Kamuva. They represent the worst Jews, the Jews that have no Torah, no mitzvahs. The Aravois have no smell and no taste. Valideizeh, and through the lulav, the tzaddik, attaching to himself both sides. On one side, on the hadasim, are symbolic of all the tzaddikim that the tzaddik is attached to. On the other side, you have the Aravois, which represent the lowest, lowest Jews. Through that combination of the tzaddik and these two, Vaydezeh hu meir beho esroi. Through that, the tzaddik, the lulav, shines its light into the esroig, shehu malchus digdusha. The Zohar HaKadosh tells us that the esroig represents the malchus, which receives from all the other midos. Shehu hisgalus elikusi esbora. The malchus is the revelation of Hashem. Bechinas, as the pasuk says, kevoid hadar malchusai, the honor and beauty of Hashem's kingdom. Note the word hadar, which is used about the esrog. The esrog is called prietz hador, and the malchus is called hadar malchusai. Shemizgale al yedei talmidov haksherim, which is revealed through the true students of the tzaddik. al yidei toirosoi v'sichois of hagdoshois shemer bem. Through the Torah of the tzaddik and the teachings of the tzaddik, which he shines into his students. So the four species represent the total package. The lulav is the tzaddik, b'chinas Moshe Rabbeinu. The hadasim are all the other tzaddikim. The aravos represent the lowest, the Jews that are furthest away from Hashem. And those three together shine into the malchus, which is the esroig, which is represented also by the students of the tzaddik. V'alkein ikar hahidur hubohu esroig. And this will explain why when we look at these four, we see the beauty of the esroig more than anything else. The esroig is considered by people to be the most beautiful of the four. Ki hatzadik biatzmoi ein lonu boi shum tfiso klal. Because Rabbeinu Zal tells us in several places, the tzaddik himself, we have no understanding in him whatsoever. We cannot, he's way, way, way above and beyond Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael cannot have access to and understand the tzaddik directly. Rak misichosov hakdoshois v'toirosei hakdosho. It's only through the things that the tzaddik speaks about and the holy Torah that he reveals, humoirid atzmoy eleinu, the tzaddik lowers himself to us, to Klal Yisrael, bekamo mine hishtalshalus. Many, many levels. He lowers himself thousands and thousands of levels in order to be able to teach, in order to be able to reveal, to share with his students some of his recognition of Hashem. Al yidei zeh mevinim shoroi lahamen boy. And through the little bit that we get to see of the tzaddik, through that we understand that he's worthy of our faith, of us believing in him, that he's really very great. And through this, our faith in Hashem and our faith in the Torah becomes strengthened tremendously. Ki bechol dor vodor ikor hu emuna nimsheches al yidei hatzadik ho emes hagodol b'maylo. Because in each and every single generation, faith in Hashem, faith in the Torah, is brought into the world through the Tzaddik Emes, the leading Tzaddik of the generation. He's the one who's bringing faith to Klal Yisrael. V'alkein behalulov ein loikhin ikar hapri. And this will explain why when it comes to the date palm, we don't take the dates. The main part of a date palm is the dates. That you can eat, and it smells good, and it's delicious, and everything. Why do we discard? We don't take the dates. We just take this lulav, which doesn't have any taste, no taste to it at all. It doesn't have any taste or any smell. The lulav itself, the date palm has taste. It has dates on it which have taste, but the lulav itself. But rather, all we take. Kim ho'alin. We only take these leaves of the date palm, shehu halulav, which is what we call the lulav, shehu kapois tmorim, which in the Chumash is referred to as kapois tmorim. What does that teach us? We said that the lulav represents the tzaddik. The date palm, the tomor, represents the tzaddik. Tzaddik katomor yifroch. So why is it that from the date palm we're not taking the main part, which is the fruit, we're taking these leaves? Ki b'hat tzadik b'yatzmoy, b'chinas tzadik ha'tomo yifroch, ein lonu boi shum tfisa. This is to teach us and to make us realize that in the tzadik himself, we have no understanding at all whatsoever. Rakol he'orosoi bohoilam, hu'alidei ho'alin v'halulovim. But rather, the only way that the tzadik shares his light with the world is through the leaves. The halulavim and the lulavs, shehem bechina sichas chulin, which corresponds to the simple words of the tzaddik, not even his divrei Torah, when he's talking about ordinary things, sichas chulim, that's how the tzaddik relates to us. That part of him we can connect to. Kama shadosh rabbi senuzal, as the Gemara says, al posuk v'olehu lo yiboil, that his leaves will not fall away, will not be wasted. The Gemara learns from that, shafilu sichas chulin shel tamidei chachamim tzrichen limud, that not only the words of Torah that they say, but even their ordinary speech, when they're talking about things that are seemingly not connected to the Torah, their words require study and analysis. Because everything that they say, everything that the true tzaddikim say, is about Hashem. It's about recognition of Hashem. So even their sichas chulin, even their leaves, not just the fruit, but the leaves, require analysis, study, understanding. Ki kol diburov umasov hanirim kiposhut, because all of the words and the actions of the true tzaddik that seem ordinary, where he doesn't seem to be revealing Torah, yesh bohem rozin, these words really have secrets in them. Vegam afilu ha-Torah shehu megale, and even the Torah that the true tzaddik reveals to us, nechsheves gam kein be'erech kedushas hasogas ha-tzaddik bi'atzmoi b'pnimiyusoi, is considered, compared to the real holy understanding of Hashem that the tzaddik himself has, what he shares with us, bibchinas alin velulav in sheitz lapri, is compared to like the leaves compared to the fruit. Notice the tzaddik gives us the bottom of the bottom of what he understands, because what he really understands is way out of our league completely. The example we gave of the Arizal, who was once resting on Shabbos, and one of his students walked in on him, Reb Avraham Halevi, and he saw the Arizal's lips moving, and then the Arizal woke up. So he said to him, Rebbe, could you share with me some of what you were learning? So the Arizal said, it would take me 80 years to explain to you the secrets that I just learned about Balak and Bilam. And again, here he's talking not to a child, he's talking to one of his students. The Arizal is talking to one of the leading rabbis of the generation, and he says to him that what I just learned now while I was sleeping on Shabbos would take me 80 years to explain to you. So we see that what the Arizal did reveal, the knowledge that he did reveal, was way, way down, was the bottom of the bottom of the bottom. It's like the leaves. Compared to a tree that has fruit and leaves on it, it was like the leaves, what people discard, what people seem to think has no nutritional value or anything. That's what the tzaddik is sharing with us. Ki pnimius etzem hasagosoi, because the inner understanding of the true tzaddik, Govoya umaroimom venale moid meitonu, is way, way, way above us. Ukamoisha shamati mi piv hakodosh, as I heard directly from Rabbeinu Zal's own mouth, Rab Nosson Zal says. Vidaiko alidei bechinas lulav, and therefore it's specifically through the lulav, which is not the actual fruit of the date palm. Shehu bechinas alin etzloi, that's considered like the cheap stuff, like the leaves of the tzaddik. Bechinas sichois, like his more simple discussions about ordinary matters. Bechinas, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, ki eidvoi secho sicholi. Your edos, your Torah, is like ordinary talk for me. Kelly, so again, referring to the difference between what the tzaddik himself understands and learns versus what he's able to share with the world. So through this package of the lulav and the hadasim and the arofos and the esrig, mekasher el yoinim v'tachtoinim kanal, through this the tzaddik is binding together the upper ones and the lower ones, the hadasim, which symbolize tzaddikim, and the arofos, which symbolize the bottom of the bottom. ad shemeir b'ho'olam kivoid hadar malchusoy, which enables the tzaddik to be able to shine into the world the honor and beauty of Hashem's kingdom, shehu b'chinas hidur ho'esroig, which is represented by the beauty of the esroig, shehu b'chinas malchus kayadua, which kabbalistically corresponds to the malchus, as is known. And this will also explain what the Gemara says about the Esroig, that it's called pre-eitz hodor, the fruit of a beautiful tree. The word hodor means beauty, and in Hebrew the word hador means to live. So the Gemara says, ze esroig, because in the Chumash it doesn't use the word esroig at all. It calls it pre-eitz hodor. So the Gemara says, how do we figure out what fruit it's talking about? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how. The word hodor means hador. Most fruit are seasonal. They grow on a tree during a certain season. You have so many, once they ripen, you have so many weeks to pick it. If you don't pick it, and that period of time goes by, it falls off the tree by itself and it spoils and rots. It lays on the floor there, you know, becomes nothing. The esroig is unique among the fruit in that an esroig can stay on the tree from year to year. Hador be'ilonoi mishona l'shona, the Gemara says. That if you don't pick an esroig, it can stay there. And it'll grow larger. The next year, come back the next year, you'll see it's still there. It grew a little larger in some cases. So how does that represent the students of the tzaddik? We said earlier that the esroig is symbolic of the students. Ze bechinas hatalmidim haksherim. This represents the real good students. Shein bechinas Yehoshua, who are like Yehoshua. Bechinas. And when the Torah defines Yehoshua, it tells us, V'Yehoshua binun nar lo yomish mitoich ha'oil. Yehoshua ben Nun retained his youthfulness. He never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. Most students, they stay with a rabbi in school usually. You have a rabbi for a year, and then you go up a grade, finished with him, on to bigger and better. But Yehoshua represented the loyal, the truly loyal student who had such faith in Moshe Rabbeinu that he stayed with him year after year. Lo yomash, he never left the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew he didn't have to go looking for more or looking for anything else. So Rav Nosson Zale asks, v'lechoyra eina muvan. It's hard to understand what the wording in the pasuk there, that it says he never left the tent. What do you mean? He was human. He had to go home to eat and to drink. V'lasos tzorech yaguf, and to take care of his bodily needs, to shower, to bevadai mikolshkein bedoyroi seilu. And how much more so if we talk about our generations today, eichef shelakayim zois, how in a world can a person attach themselves to a tzaddik and never leave his tent? Valoi hatoyro hi b'chol odom u'b'chol zman. And we know that every word that's written in the Torah is to teach us. The word Torah is miloshen hoiro, to teach. The Torah is not a storybook. It's not there to tell us that 2,000-3,000 years ago there was a person Yehoshua. If it was just telling us that, it would not be in the Torah. It'd be in a storybook. If it's in the Torah, it means there's a lesson in it for us. How is there a way that I could stay in the tent of Moshe Rabbeinu and not leave? Achalidei emunas chachomim. Bebechina hanal, Rav Nosson says, however, if you follow what we learned earlier, how we defined faith in tzaddikim, shemamin, that a person who is close to a tzaddik and believes in a tzaddik, believes shekol divrei rabbi umasov heimaleim rozen, that every word that his rabbi says and every action of his rabbi is full of secrets and advice and guidance. Ali Deizeh, when a person has that kind of emuna, afilu be'eis she'eino yetzel rabbi, then even when he's not in the rabbi's house, even if he's not near, physically near the rabbi, Einoi mosh mitoich oholoi. He never leaves the tent of the tzaddik. He never disconnects. V'utomid bebechinas lo yomish mitoich oil. He is always fulfilling this pasuk of never leaving the tent of the tzaddik. He's plugged in 24/7 because he doesn't just listen to the tzaddik at the time the tzaddik is speaking. He takes the words of the tzaddik with him. And everything that goes on in his life afterwards, he's always thinking, what did my Rebbe say? How can I apply what I learned from my Rebbe? How does that guide me regarding the situations that are going on in my life now and tomorrow and the next day? V'zeh bechinas esroig. And this is why the Gemara tells us about the esroig, hador be'ilonoi mishona l'shona, that it continues to live on the tree from year to year. Shedor be'ilonoi, it lives on the tree, shu bechinas rabbi. The rabbi is represented by the tree. Bechinas ilono rabo v'yakiro. We find in the Zohar HaKodesh, it mentions many times the concept of a great, holy, precious tree, referring to the tzaddik, that represents the tzaddik. We know, for example, when the spies were going to Eretz Yisrael, so Moshe Rabbeinu said to them, go and check things out. And one of the things he said to them, go see Hayesh Bo'etz Imayim. Go see if there's a tree there or not. So Rashi quotes the Gemara, which says he was saying, go see if there's any great tzaddik there among them, that he's a protection for them, that he's a pillar of strength for them, which will make it difficult for us to defeat them, to defeat these nations in Eretz Yisrael. So we see that the tree represents the tzaddik. The esrog on the tree is the student of the tzaddik. Shemishom kol gidula yutzmichosoi. And it's from the tree that the student grows and progresses. And he continues to live on the tree from year to year, meaning he never leaves, he never disconnects. And how does he do this? Through his faith in the tzaddik. The student knows and he believes that every word of the tzaddik and every move of the tzaddik is full of secrets. Through that kind of an attitude, everything that happens to the student, everything he goes through in his life, with his family, with his business, with people he's interacting, with his health, with everything, he finds, in what's going on in his life, he finds the words of his Rebbe and the actions of his Rebbe and the hints that the Rebbe gave him. As Rabbi Nizal writes, in Likutei Moran, chapter 186, Al Inyan HaChasidim HaKsherim Shebemedinas Kira, where Rabbi Nizal wrote over there about the very religious people that lived in a particular country, where he said that these people are zoichet to see miracles because of the incredible faith that they have in tzaddikim. They have such emuna in tzaddikim, in their rabbis, that when they study by their rabbis and they listen carefully to their words, the words are indelibly inscribed in their brains, so that as they go through life afterwards, they don't think that while I'm sitting at the shir, I'm listening to a shir. Afterwards, I'm living. It's two different things. No. They understand that the Torah that they're learning is an explanation. It's a commentary on life, on everything that they're going to experience in their lives. And if they want to know how to deal with everything going on in their life, they have to just pull on those resources, on the Torah that they heard from the tzaddik. The tzaddik definitely gave me everything I need to know to be able to know how to conduct my life and how to interact with people. In that Torah, Rabbi Nizal will just quote part of it. Rabbi Nizal says, "Ma shemesaprim moifsim mehatzadikim shemebedinas kira." This that people tell over miracles of the tzaddikim of Vienna. Of Vienna, I believe this is referring to, which was called Kira, Hu machmas she'ansheim heimanoshim ksherim, is because of the fact that the people there are really very religious, umaminim bat tzadikim, and they have real faith in tzadikim. And as a result of that, miracles are revealed. Because Rabbeinu Zal goes on to say, ki be'emes hatzadik bevadai mole moifsim. Because the truth is that every true tzaddik is full of miracles. Ukeshehu mamin bat tzaddik. And when a person really believes in the tzaddik, v'noisein eino v'liboy al divrei hatzadik, and the person looks very carefully with his eyes, he watches every move that the tzaddik makes, and his heart is in it. He's really concentrating. He knows that there's nothing like this. That in spending a few minutes with a tzaddik, it could help him more than a few years with somebody else. There's so much to be learned from every word, every move. A tzaddik says something, and that could be advice that could help the person and could help thousands of people. I remember an example, just a small example that comes to mind. My Rebbe, Zichrono Livracha, Rav Rosenfeld, I've told this story in the past, that one time, the last years of his life, he was very sick and in incredible, incredible pain. The pain was so severe that he couldn't sleep at night. The pain kept him up. He said there were times he'd be begging for sleep, literally begging for 15 minutes and couldn't get it. So one morning he came into shul for Shacharis, and Daven Shacharis, and after Shacharis, the custom in Breslov shuls is to do a little rikid, a little dance, sing a song for 3 to 5 minutes. We sang, we danced, and then we sat down for a short halacha shir that he would give, a 10-15 minute halacha shir before everybody would go out to work or do what they were doing. When we sat down, he looked at us and he said, "You guys sing like a bunch of dead cows." And he was right. He was 100% right. People were singing half asleep and half this and half that. What kind of thing is that? Rabbeinu Zal writes in Likut Imran about the chashivas of a rikud and who you're singing to. You're singing to Hashem. What? This isn't a joke. This isn't Mary Had a Little Lamb. So he made this comment. He stopped. And then he gave the shir, the halacha shir. The next day, comes back to shul, finished davening, rikud. We sit down. And he pauses to make sure everybody's listening. And he says, "I want to apologize for what I said yesterday." He said, "There's a Gemara that says, Ein Odom Nitbas Al Tzaroi, that a person is not responsible when they're in pain. When a person's in real serious pain, and they say something or do something, it's not the person talking, it's their pain screaming. They're crying out in pain. They're not really, you're not hearing what the real, it's not coming from the real essence of the person." And this was such an incredible lesson to me, I remember at the time, because I knew him for years, and I knew that this person's brain was so advanced, his brain, his mouth, everything he did, everything he said was so measured. And yet, even by him, it was possible that there should be a situation, a circumstance, where because of certain circumstances, he said something that he regretted afterwards terribly. He felt terrible about it. How much more so by us, different circumstances, different situations, when a wife says something to a husband, comes home from a long day at work, and he's waiting for his wife to be standing there smelling like a rose and a peacock and dressed in her finest clothing, and ask him, I made 12 different menu. I wasn't sure what you like, so I made everything. Which one would you like? And instead she says, "Why are you home? You said you were going to be home at 7. How come it's 7:05 now? Where were you the last 5 minutes?" And boom, ba boom, ba boom. And he looks at her and says, "I'm sorry, this is the wrong house. He's coming. Your husband is coming. I live next door." And this erupts in a war. They don't talk to each other for 3 weeks. And it's a mistake. It's a mistake. He doesn't know what she went through 5 minutes before. That the kids spilled this and this broke and that and all kinds of things. So when she's saying that to him, that's not the real her. It's circumstances. There's circumstances that led to something being said. Wait. Wait, don't pull a trigger, don't shoot a bullet. Wait, and wait, and wait. And usually you'll find out, it'll be revealed to you, what the circumstance was, what something was, and you'll know it's not as bad as you thought. It's not, it doesn't warrant getting divorced and hiring a hitman, and nothing, not warranted at all. So an example where you watch a Talmud Chacham, or especially a Tzaddik, says something or a certain action happens, and it's a lesson that can help you in thousands of situations in your own life and thousands of situations of people you're interacting with, to be able to give them an Eitza Toiva, to be able to know how to deal with something the right way. So Rabbeinu Zal says that the person believes that every word of the tzaddik is emes v'tzedek u'bekavona mechuvenes, and every word that the tzaddik says has a specific reason. Nothing is by accident. Nothing is. When a person has that level of faith, then azai acharka kishebo lebeisa. When the person goes home, kol ma shi'ero isoi. Everything that happens to them, everything, all their interaction with their family, with friends, with business, with everything, humistakel heitev al kol dovo sheraloi, the person analyzes carefully what's happening to them, umeven lemafreya bedivrei hatzadik shadibrei moi b'yosei etzloi, and he starts understanding what the tzaddik said when he was by the tzaddik a few hours ago or yesterday, and the tzaddik made a certain comment. The tzaddik was preempting a certain problem or preempting a certain situation that the person was going to be in, that the person would need guidance for. And the tzaddik, in his words, already gave him the guidance that he needed to be able to know how to deal with it correctly. When he gets home and something happens, then he first realizes what the tzaddik meant when he said that. At the time the tzaddik said it, he had no idea what it was referring to. When he went home a few hours later or a few weeks later, when a certain situation plays itself out, he sees that, wow, the tzaddik said something a few weeks ago, and in his words was already a clear explanation as to how something was going to work out or not work out, whatever it was going to be. There's a little more in the Torah. For those that have the opportunity, it's a relatively short chapter on the Likutei Moharan, chapter 186, which is extremely important related to what we're learning. And as we find something related to this in the Sefer Chaim Moharan, Bahamaiso shel Hatzadik Rabbi Mordechai Zatzal, regarding the story with the Tzadik Rabbi Mordechai, I believe he's referring to Rabbi Mordechai Mineshchiz, one of the great tzaddikim that lived during the time of Rabbeinu Zal. There are a few stories about the interaction between him and Rabbeinu Zal, the tremendous respect that they had for each other. And when Rabbi Nosson Zal first met Rabbeinu Zal, Rabbeinu Zal told him a story. He told him about this great tzaddik, that one of his students once came to him, spent some time with him, and then the student was ready to leave to go home. So he went back to the rabbi, as the halacha says, you're supposed to say goodbye to your rabbi, and it's called to ask rishus, to ask for permission to leave, sort of, from the rabbi when you're leaving. So this student did that, and the rabbi did not acknowledge. So you could imagine the thoughts going through his mind. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe just he's not in a good mood, you know. But the student knew that his rabbi is not just a regular person. So he decided, who knows, maybe there's a reason why he's not saying goodbye. Maybe I should just wait a little. He waited a day, a week, a month. Did not go home. And sure enough, he tried a few times in the middle to say to the rabbi that he's going to go home to, and the rabbi did not acknowledge. The rabbi passed away, and right afterwards, the student figured, okay, now there's nothing to stick around for. He went home, the student went home, and passed away shortly afterwards. And Rabbeinu Zal told this story. He wanted Rabbi Nosson Zal to hear this, to know that when you're dealing with a tzaddik, every word that he says or doesn't say, every move he makes, has chachma to it, has meaningful to it. Be careful, be alert, watch very carefully. listen very carefully, pay attention, and don't think that anything is just mikra. Oh, he didn't know. Maybe he didn't notice. Maybe he didn't know. When you're dealing with a real, real tzaddik, he does notice and he does know. And if he's giving off a certain kind of message, make sure you take the hint. And when a person has this kind of emuna, who tamid mekusher l'rabbi, that person is attached to his Rebbe 24/7. Even if he's not physically in the presence of the Rebbe, he could be 100 miles away, he could be thousands of miles away. He's connected. Bebechinas hador beilonoi mishana l'shana, as the Gemara defines the esrog as living on the tree from year to year. We find by Rav Nosson Zal, after Rabbeinu Zal passed away, after Rabbi Nachman passed away, he writes that he was at a loss a little bit. He had no idea what direction his life should take. He said that, you know, he had spent those 8 years that he spent connected to Rabbeinu Zal, 101% of his brain was focused on Rabbeinu Zal, whether he was there, whether he was home, whether he was wherever he was. He was always connected and always thinking about what he could receive, how he could get more from Rabbeinu Zal, and what he could do to help Rabbeinu Zal the whole time. Now suddenly the Rebbe's passed away, he's gone. Now what? How do we deal with this? And he writes that at first he had no idea what direction to go in. So at one point he decided, well, certainly can't hurt to sit down and learn. And where do you learn? You learn in a shul, in a beis medrash. So he went in to learn, which he loved doing, he enjoyed doing. And in being in the beis medrash, he looked around a little bit, and he saw different people, he said, and he was watching their learning. And he saw a lot of people who were sort of assumed to be good students and good Talmid Chachamim, Avreichim, young guys who had gotten married, and they were sitting and learning, and they were not sitting and learning. They were taking breaks and more breaks. And Rav Nosson Zal saw this, and he said, like, well, what's going on here? Like, where are they coming from? Because he was so on fire, he was so inspired and so motivated through his kesher to Rabbeinu Zal. When he sat down to learn, he was burning rubber, he was running. And he's watching these people who have the opportunity to learn, and they're on easy street, they're taking it easy. So at one point, he tried approaching one of them and speaking to them a little in the way only Rav Nosson Zal could. And speaking automatically, things came to mind that he had heard from Rabbeinu Zal, a Torah Likutimon about this. And he saw that they were blown away. He saw that he would tell them things that they never heard before, that inspired them, that woke them up, and was able to affect a serious change in them. And he started realizing then this incredible treasure that he had been left with, that he had received all of this nuclear knowledge, that anybody who he comes into contact with, he has what to say. He has exactly what to say to inspire them, to motivate them, to encourage them in every situation. And he started, that helped him remember. He remembered the things that he heard, the things that he saw, and he was constantly telling over things that he learned, things that he saw, and that was how his career took off. After Rabbeinu Zal passed away and slowly got involved and more involved in teaching and writing Sforim and so on and so forth. There's a pasuk, I just mentioned this last night, everything is min hashamayim. Today, Sunday, Yom Rishon, which is the 11th day of Elul, I believe, 11th or 12th day in Elul, we'll see in a minute, Tov Shinayin Dalet, is the Siyum, 12th day of Elul, is the Siyum of Likute Maran. 18 years ago, some of the rabbis in Breslov got together and said, hey, the Daf Yomi, which Reb Meir of Lublin came up with this idea over 100 years ago, to encourage Jews to be on the same page. Jews get together, he's learning this, he's learning that, and sometimes that makes it difficult for them to have common ground, to be able to speak, to talk Torah between them. Wouldn't it be nice if every single Jew is on the same page, besides other learning that they're doing, to dedicate some time in the day, an hour, a hit, whatever it is, to learn a daf of Gemara, going from the beginning of Shas to the end of Shas, takes a little over 7 years to complete it, so that whenever Jews meet, number one, for those Jews who are overwhelmed when they hear the word Shas, they think it has nothing to do with them, there's no way I'll ever learn that. The secret is a page at a time, just one page. One page anybody can do just about. And this rabbi instituted, he spoke about this at one of the great conferences, the Knesia Gdola that they had in Europe, where he was either the youngest or one of the youngest rabbis who was present at that gathering. The Chofetz Chaim Zal was there, other great tzaddikim. The Chofetz Chaim was much older than this rabbi, and yet when this rabbi came in, the Chofetz Chaim stood up for him, and one of the reasons was the Chofetz Chaim wanted everybody to see that this is not a little boy, and his idea is something that can make a revolution in Klal Yisrael. Today there are probably tens of thousands of Jews, tens of thousands, who have finished Shas two times, three times, four, because of this rabbi. Because this rabbi instituted this program of starting a page a day. People are on the same chavrusas, people can learn together. Daf Yomi Shir in the shul before davening, after davening, in the morning, at night. It has made Shas so much more available to thousands and thousands of people. So these rabbis got an idea. Let's, Likutei Moran is a closed book for the majority of Breslovers. Majority of Breslovers are looking at it and saying, oh, this is ubu bubu, this is voodoo stuff, you know, it's so deep, you know, some of it can, and a whole sefer, it's like a, you know, take 1,000 years to figure it out. Not a page, an omud, half a page. That if a person does half a page, one side of Likutei Moran a day, they finish it in less than a year, 11 months and a little bit. And the rabbis agreed on this, and they proclaimed, we're starting today. New beginning for Chassidei Breslov. Likutei Moran starting today. The Siyum will be 11 and a half months from today. And in the past 18 years, a few thousand Breslovers and non-Breslovers have finished Likutei Moran thanks to this program. Because again, one side, who can convince themselves that they don't have the time or they can't understand it when there are shiurim? People started shiurim in the different shuls. It's on tape, it's in English, it's in Hebrew, it's in Yiddish, it's in French. There's a phone number that you can dial in to hear a shiur. You can pick Hebrew, Yiddish, English. Who can say that I can't do it? So the Siyum, they had a Siyum last night, and at the Siyum, one of the things that was mentioned there was that Rabbeinu Zal begins the Likutei Moran with speaking about the greatness of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, where during his time, the Gemara says in Shabbos, page 138, that the rabbis got together in Kerem Biavne, one of the main centers of learning, and they proclaimed that there's going to come a time that the Torah is going to be forgotten by the Jewish people. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said that the Torah will never be forgotten. And he quoted a pasuk, Ki lo yisi shokach mipi zaro, it will not be forgotten through his children, from his children. And Rabbi Nachman revealed that in those words, Ki lo yisi shokach mipi zaro, the last letter spelled the word Yochai, the father of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal was saying about himself that he was going to introduce a level of light to the world. That even in the darkest moments, like today, which is called Hastorah Shebetoy Hastorah, when Hashem is going to be so hidden and so far from us, and there are going to be so many Jews that are so far, far, in such darkness, the light that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal left in the world is going to continue to shine and continue to guarantee that there will always be people studying Torah and drawing strength, and etc. So I mentioned last night that I remember hearing from Reb Michal Zichron Avrucha that Moshe Rabbeinu, right before he passed away, he said to the Jewish people, Ki Yodati, because I know, acharei moisi, that after I die, ki hashcheis tashchisun, that you guys are going to mess it up big time. Hashchosa means total destruction. And he said, hashcheis tashchisun, double this mass, total destruction. So the Gemara says, and Rashi quotes the Gemara over there, but it's not true. It's not true. After Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, during the time of Yehoshua, the Jews were good. They were good boys. They behaved. They went in Eretz Yisrael, all kinds. So the Gemara answers, as long as Yehoshua was alive, Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. Having a student like Yehoshua who didn't forget Moshe Rabbeinu for a minute, and everything Moshe Rabbeinu taught him lived with him. He lived with it. He conquered Eretz Yisrael with it. Everything he did was with the guidance and teachings that he had gotten from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not Achrei Mosi. Moshe Rabbeinu is not considered dead during that time. It's afterwards, after Yehoshua, and after things got to a point where people did forget to a degree, or people thought Moshe Rabbeinu was dead. They forgot that tzaddikim, real tzaddikim, don't die. They become bigger. The Gemara says, Gedoilim tzaddikim b'misosam yoisim b'chayayim, that a true tzaddik is greater in his passing than during his lifetime. The Gemara brings proof from Shimshon HaGibor, who killed thousands of Philistines during his lifetime. But the Gemara says, in death, he killed much more than during his whole lifetime. So from here we see that tzaddikim in death are greater than throughout their whole lifetime. So if a person learns the sefer of a tzaddik, and the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi that when you're learning the words of a tzaddik, you're supposed to picture that he's standing right opposite you. When you say Abai Omar or Rabbi Shimon Omer, you're supposed to picture Rabbi Shimon is standing right in front of me and he's saying these words. So then he's not dead. If a person has that attitude, then the words live and the words guide, their beacons of light to guide the person in every move that they make. I've mentioned also many times from Rav Pinchas Taitz, Zichron Avrocha, that he once said, the Torah is compared to a tree of life. He said, what's the comparison? He said, if you want the best commentary on life, if you want to be able to understand your living and you see things going on that you don't understand and you want to be able to understand, learn Torah. You'll learn Torah, you'll understand what's going on. And he said, if you want the best commentary on Torah, if you're learning Torah and you're learning things and you don't understand it completely, you know what the best commentary on Torah is? Life. Live. Live, do business, work, function in the world, and remember what, think about what you learned. And you'll see what you learned come to life. You'll see things that when you were learning it in the yeshiva, you learned it and it. When you're going through life and you're living and you're interacting with people and dealing with situations, if you didn't forget your Torah, if you're holding on to your Torah, if you're holding on to your kesher, to the tzaddikim, to your rabbis, you will see, you will understand what you learned in yeshiva. It'll make great sense to you. You'll have tremendous clarity in it because you'll be living it. You'll be seeing it live. V'zeh ikar hahidur, and this is the real beauty of the esrig, of the student. B'chinas priyetz hodor, that it's called this beautiful fruit. Shu b'chinas kevoid hadar malchusoy, the glory, the beautiful glory of Hashem's kingdom. K'al yedei talmidim ksherim ko'elu, because it's through real quality religious students like this, Nizgale hadar kvoid malchusa yizborach l'chol bo'elam, that there is revealed the beauty of Hashem's kingdom to the whole world. Rav Nosson Zal's telling us here, like he said before, the tzaddik himself, the world has almost, the rest of the world has almost no access to. They don't understand him, they can't really connect. It's through the students of the tzaddik, we know the Arizal. The Arizal had 15, 20, 30, 50 students. The Arizal, before he passed away, said to his students, none of you are authorized or qualified to speak on my behalf. Only one. There's only one student that understood me completely, properly, and he's qualified to write and to teach my teachings, and that's Reb Chaim Vital Zal. This is the Arizal. And again, everything, all the Arizal himself did not write anything or very, very little. Everything we have from the Arizal is from Reb Chaim Vital Zal. He's the one who wrote down all the shiurim of his Rebbe. And even he wrote all of it. It was manuscripts and everything, and it was in an attic. And when he passed away, he didn't publish it or print it. His son, he had a son, Reb Shmuel Vital, who was very close to his father and studied a lot from his father. And he was the one who found all the writings of his father and saw that this has to be made available to the world and spent thousands of hours organizing it. He said his father had written it just as he heard a shiur, as he heard things. It was all over the place. He's the one who organized it into sections and different, the Shmoina Shorim as we have it today, the writings of the Arizal and other books. So we see again, the Arizal himself, 99.9% of the Jewish world had no contact with him. It's through his student, through this true student, that they were able to have a kesher. Moshe Rabbeinu had Yehoshua. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal had Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Elazar. His son and his closest student, Rabbi Abba, they're the ones who wrote the Zohar Kodesh. They're the ones who broadcasted Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal to the world. And Rabbeinu Zal said about Rab Nosson Zal that were it not for him, there wouldn't be one page of my teachings that would be available to the world. Knows that this student was the one who was privileged to really, really believe in the tzaddik completely and to live with the tzaddik 24/7 and therefore have the schus of publicizing his teachings and glorifying Hashem to the whole world. The sforim that we have, both the sforim of Rabbi Nachman himself and the sforim that Rabbi Nosson Zal wrote, his own shiurim, the Likutei Halachos, the Likutei Tefilos, and all the other sforim, which are made available to the world, which glorify Hashem, which open people's eyes to the greatness of Hashem in such a big way. Again, we're in the schus of this student, the Esroig. Veze bechinas hanianuin shemenan in bearbo minim lechol hashivak shishak tzavois. Rav Nosson says this will also explain the fact that we shake the four species in all six directions. Both when we first make the bracha on the tilas lulav, we shake all four of them in all four directions and up and down, and also during hallel. Ze bechinas remozim. That's shaking something is like a hint, like a person motions with his hand. They make a hand motion. Shaking the lulav is symbolic of the remozim, the hints. Shemoidin lechol boyoylam alidei rozin uremozim anal, whereby the tzaddik enlightens the world through secrets and through hints, ki Hashem hu elokim, to get to know that Hashem is king over everything. Bechinas, as we say in the final sentence when we finish dealing with the lulav and the dalet minim, lemandas kol ame horetz, ki Hashem hu elokim einoid. That why are we doing this mitzvah? In order to broadcast to the entire world that Hashem is king and there's none other than him in all six directions everywhere. So the shaking of the lulav is like a hand motion. Somebody makes a hand motion, do this, don't do that. The tzaddikim, a lot of what we learn from them, a lot of what we know from them is just from hints that we get from them. Not even being able to understand exactly what their teachings are, but these remozim, these hints that they share with us. This is a topic that appears in a few places in Likutei Moran, especially in the second half of Likutei Moran in Torah Zion. Rabbeinu Zal there discusses this concept of remozim, that when a person speaks, sometimes they move their hands a certain way or in anything. And sometimes the hand motion gives you a tremendous insight as to what the person really means. Sometimes a person can't say something. They can't spell something out clearly. They can only hint into it a certain way, and the people have to understand by the hint what it means, what it really means. We'll hold it over here.